Hi guys, welcome back to a new episode. I think this is season 2, episode 3. Crazy work. I would have been like so much farther into this if I didn't have that whole situation with my iPad and couldn't put an episode out for a month. But everything happens in divine order. So I'm cool with where I am and I'm very happy with life currently. There are a lot of different things changing, which is why I was moved to come here. It's Monday right now. I'm currently sitting outside, so you might hear like birds or something around me, but I'm outside. I really needed to go outside and get some air, but it's really humid, so like I fully could have stayed inside, but I am happy. I like being out here. I'm right next to the forest, so not bad at all. But today I had so much on my heart. And I was like, I need to get this out. I don't have a script today. I usually have like just a few notes, raw dogging it completely. I just really needed to talk about a couple of different things because a lot of different things are literally always changing. I didn't put out an episode last week because it was a lot going on. It's currently still a lot going on. The last few weeks of the internship, obviously people are stressed out and trying to finish their projects and get things done and get things in before deadlines. I have to have my poster in and submitted by Thursday morning. My project, it was actually really low maintenance. So my mentor, he's not stressed out about it at all. So I'm trying not to worry, but I like order and I appreciate people being like, you're just giving you time to do stuff. He's like, we can meet on the 17th. I'm like, I need to have it submitted on the 18th and you want to meet the day before? like 24 hours prior to the deadline? Okay, chill. Because I mean, it is a pretty chill project and we don't have much to discuss. So if that's the case, I would appreciate doing it beforehand. But he's like, oh, you'll make it under the wire. I'm literally going to be crawling under the wire on my hands and my knees. But like, sure, whatever. He's not stressing. I'm not stressing. I'm chilling. But a lot was happening last week, so I was just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. The girl that I played you guys, Sierra Bordeaux, from her podcast, On Your Side, two weeks ago, and I played a little snippet from her episode, and I was just like, oh yeah, she is so inspiring. She really is. She was just talking about going out into life and experiencing it so that she could come back. Like, that's why she takes breaks, so that she can come back and give you guys the wisdom that she's learned from actually living the life that she's supposed to be giving you wisdom from. And I'm like, yeah. And I mean, it's not that she's older than me. It's not that. I don't feel like it's that dramatic, but I mean, and I would call it wisdom for sure, but the advice I give you guys, I feel like it's loose, it's low key, and it's me taking my stories and trying to make them relatable to you guys because we are around the same age demographic and we're going through a lot of the same things. So I'm just like, I'll tell my story and hopefully it touches somebody, you know. But as I do and as I was living my life, lots of things were happening. I want to be as transparent as possible and just talk about things with you guys because the stuff that's been going on, it feels like everything is just coming full circle the closer I approach 20, which is my next age. And that doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah, I'm going to be 20 in 6 months. But before we get to the contents, the fun stuff, what am I reading? I literally just finished Firestarter by Stephen King, and as you guys know, he's my favorite author. If you didn't know, now you know, he's my favorite author. And I was reading that and I was like, oh my goodness, like, he doesn't miss. I was actually considering giving it 4 stars because at one point it kind of felt all over the place, like, for just a moment, but that's the point. It was lost on me for just 1 second, doubting him, my greatest mistake. In the afterword, after all was said and done, next week I'm gonna do a recap of the books that I've read in the month, so like I'll go into the details later. But in the afterword, he's a nerd. He loves, obviously, I mean, as an author at his, you know, high esteem, he talked a lot about the government and he's like, this is just a novel, but like real spill. And he was talking about the government and he was talking about psychology and all of these different things and all these different elements and pyrokinesis. I mean, you know, Firestarter, it's a book about pyrokinesis and a couple other different things. And he was like, but this is real life. Like, the government does these things and this is real life. And he's like, I'm not saying anything for real. Like, I'm merely suggesting. He's like, yeah, I'm new to this because at this point in his career, he was only like 7-8 years in. But he's like, yeah, nobody, like, shoot the messenger, but, like, this is real, and these things are happening all over the place, and we need to do something about it. So he's a big advocate for a lot of different things. The deeper he was in his career, he talked a lot about Black people and gay people and how he just wants everybody to have rights. A lot of people think that the fiction he writes is how he feels as a person. He throws a couple hard R's around in his stuff and a couple F slurs, but guys, he's not a racist, he's not a homophobe, he's a great man, and I think we need to protect him at all costs, because like, his novels are literally the secret to life. But that's just my personal opinion. Anyway, I just finished that book, and now I'm going to read Untamed by Glennon Doyle. My roommate, she recommended it to me. And she was like, Jess, you need to read this book once, and then you need to read it again, and you need to annotate it thoroughly, and then you need to read it just one more time so you make sure you don't miss anything, and then you need to make a full detailed podcast episode about this book in particular. And I will listen to it, and I will promote it for you. Like, it's so good. Like, it's so good. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked into it, and guys, this book is really popular. Let me know if you've read it, but it's a really popular book, and I have never heard of it. So I was like, oh, jeez, I'm excited. I ordered it right there on the spot. I was like, oh, it's $11. Like, getting that. It has about 70,000 reviews, and it's like a 4.7 star rating. And I'm like, oh, this must be fantastic. So I got that, and I am going to read it next. I literally just downloaded the audiobook and everything because I want to listen to it too, because it's narrated by the author, and whenever a book is narrated by the author, I'm incredibly intrigued. But that's what I'm reading. Just read and reading currently, all in the same day. So getting things done, trying to get to that goal of 20, like I told you guys about. But on to the song. I want to give a little backstory, because I mean, this is going to turn into a Trevor Jackson appraisal. It usually turns into appraisals for the artists I talk about, because I love them and they're really, really good at what they do. But Trevor Jackson, he's dropping an album. This is his first album in 3 years. I was starving. Hungry. I was starving. He dropped this little EP like in 2022, I guess, to hold us over for this moment. But in 2021, I saw him and Eric together at a club, and both of them posted about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, my faves are in the same room. Eric Bellinger, Trevor Jackson, like, this is crazy work. And this was right after Trevor had dropped his album, so I wasn't expecting any new music from Trevor with Eric, but like, Eric drops, he'll drop 5 albums in 1 year if you let him. So I was like, okay, it'll be coming soon. And then it wasn't that soon. It literally took years. And this is when me and Eric were in contact. So I just slid up on the post, and I was like, Trevor and Eric collab, and he gave me the little eyes emoji, you know, the eyes looking off to the side, and I was like, oh, we're getting it, it's confirmed. And then it took 2 years. They went on tour together. I actually couldn't go because the day of the tour, I had gotten my wisdom teeth taken out, so I was literally so fine. Like, I would have been popping like pills in the club, because like, I had to take my pills on a routine post surgery, obviously. But I was fine. After I took a nap and the anesthesia wore off, I woke up and I started cleaning the house. Like, I could have fully gone to the club. My best friend texted me, and she was like, Jess, these tickets are so cheap, like, can we still go? Honestly, I wouldn't have been able to go anyway because I was on punishment. But if that was not the case, I literally could have, like, I was fine. And I was like, yeah, like, as a joke, I was just like, yeah, carry my ibuprofen for me, like, we can totally go. But I didn't see them, unfortunately. Broke my soul. You move. But they dropped a remix to one of Eric's songs, BMB, that week while they had just started touring, because they had just started. I think Detroit was actually the first show, and it wasn't that good. I was a little underwhelmed. I was like, damn, like, I was expecting so much more. And they were on tour, and they were together for months at a time, and they had been together for 2 years at this point, just, you know, in the knowing that they were in each other's realms, and they were at least communicating, at the very least popping out at parties and communicating and stuff. So I was like, okay, no worries, we're gonna get something else. And Trevor started promotion for his album this year with a lot of different songs, and he dropped about 5 of them. It's a 17 track album. 17 tracks. We've heard about 5 of them. All really good. That I was like, dang, that's a lot of singles. But he just dropped the track list, and Eric's on it, full circle. And Eric had helped him write a couple of the singles that he had dropped, and I'm just so happy, and I'm just so proud. Trevor is getting his moment. A lot of y'all tried to clock his tea when he did that little Water remix, and I was like, I mean, I laughed, like, I laughed because people are funny, but I was like, even still, like, he does not care about this, and he didn't care, and he kept coming out with the bangers because he got a lot of traction from that. And then he started dropping all his singles and they started doing really good, and he just dropped his latest one right now. It's the 15th. The album comes out tomorrow, so I'm sure that this song with him and Eric is gonna be my favorite song. It's gonna be my favorite song off the album, like top five at least. You know, I love Trevor, and so far this song that he just dropped, best single yet from the rollout, I can't get enough of it, can't turn it off. It came out last Wednesday. He drops songs on random, really random days, but it came out on Wednesday, and I've listened to it 20 times since it came out. So yeah, it's like that, and I'm very, very excited. But enough of the rambling. This is his latest single, Find Out, and it's really good. You should go check it out. I know girls like you, you have your reservations. Cause I know guys like me, we got bad reputation. So good, right? Exactly. It's real up tempo, but still like cunty R&B. He can do so much. He has like a Afrobeat inspired song on here. All the girls are trying to get into Afrobeats, and like, love it, eating it up. Afrobeats are my favorite thing. I love like Ira Starr, Tyla, obviously love her down, Tems, freaking, oh, guys, Amare. Did I mention that Amare is gonna be touring with Sabrina Carpenter? I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm just eating it up. All of my girls are winning. All of my boys are winning too. I'm very happy. But that is the spill for the week. The song, the book, blase, blase. Let's talk about these really big life things, right? Okay. So, like I said, I've been telling you guys about being transparent. And I mean, I just want to talk. I don't want to be elusive. I think being elusive is stupid. If I can give any relatability or advice, like it, and it be genuine, it has to be me talk. Like, I have to talk to you guys for real about what I'm going through. Plane overhead. So sorry. We're right next to an airport. But like I said, I'm outside. Anyway, I was just last week, so like I said, super busy, but I was also going through a lot of personal things, like in my family. And I am going through a breakup currently. So, you know, I talked about 19 and how everybody's like, 19's gonna kill you. 19 is going to be your hardest year of life yet. Buckle in. And I was like, oof, yikes. And I said it was pretty mellow, it was pretty chill, but there were things that were happening where I was like, okay, maybe this is what they mean. Lots of different shifts, lots of different changes. And I know that 20 comes after 19. I know 20 follows the year 19. I can count, but I haven't taken it into account. I think the closer I get to turning 20, which, it, like I said, sound terrifying, terrifying, super exciting, terrifying at the same time, you know, two things can be true at once, but terrifying nonetheless. So I was just like, okay, the closer I get to 20, the more things pop off. And I know that it's probably just life trying to set me up to be stable and emotionally stronger, even physically stronger. Like, I'm doing a lot of different, I'm just trying a lot of things out. I feel like, you know, when you're about to go through a shift, you try a lot of different things out, a lot of different workouts, a lot of different skills, a lot of different hobbies, whatever. Going on a lot of nature walks, trying to find myself and stay grounded and have some sanity. But like, all of these different changes, all these different shifts, 20, huge age. It's not 21. You know, people like are usually really excited for 21, but 20, you're entering your 20s. Like, we're here. We just did two decades of life. Unfortunately, many don't get to see that. Like, round of applause. Let's clap. And it's your third year of life. And third decade of life. And that's the beginning of it. And it's insane when you put it like that. I'm like, oh, this is really scary, but still super exciting. So with all of those things, I did a lot of reflecting last week, because I said about the breakup, you know, like, it's not like breakups are terrible, and like, they are hard and they suck. But when it was happening to me initially, like, it you know, up and down, because healing doesn't happen in a straight line. So I was just like, okay, like, I'm gonna take the punches as they come. And since this week was the anniversary of, like, what would have been an anniversary for me and my first boyfriend and my first relationship, I was like, geez, like, for 5 years, for all of my teenage, like, 14 to 19, I've been involved with people. And I'm like, that's, like, so, like, it's okay, it's fine, it's fine. You know, I feel like teenage dating, it helps you figure out what you like, what you're interested in, what you want for your adult life and your adult self, and you learn. Some people stay with the people that they got with when they were teenagers. Really lucky individuals to find your person so young. But you know, you grow with these people. These people are here usually for seasons, and they teach you things and they teach you lessons. Like, great. But I was like, dang, I counted it up, and from 14 to 19, I have taken a total of a 10-month break allotted all that whole time, 5-year span, not even a full 12 months, full year, to give myself time to be single and alone. And then I reflect to you guys and I tell you all about how I think that this moment in my life was really great because of X, Y, and Z. And this moment was really great in my life because of X, Y, and Z. But the moments that were really great and did a lot for me were the moments where I was single and I didn't belong to anybody. And I don't really remember what that's like. Because if even in the break, sometimes I was entertaining somebody or I was talking to somebody or, you know, whatever, like, you know, what teenagers do. And I was just like, oh, this is like really sad. Like, this is low-key kind of sad. And finally being alone again and not belonging to anybody but myself, very big, very daunting, very scary, but also very good for my growth. Like, I know it's not gonna be a bad thing and it's not gonna turn out into something that I'm gonna regret. It's just like, wow, that's kind of crazy. And adjusting to being your own person and being on your own again after being in long-term committed relationships for 5 years is pretty, like, that's a lot. That's a lot on somebody. I was with all those people for, like, if I wasn't with them for longer than a year, I was stuck on them for longer than a year. So it was a lot, you know, it's a lot to be alone. And in that process, I realized, like, okay, maybe this is what they meant. By 19 is gonna, like, be your hardest year yet, like, buckle in. Obviously, that looks different for everybody. Some people might not be in a relationship in 19, and they might be going through personal shifts, or they might be going through loss of family, or whatever it is, you know. Everybody has a different story, but this was mine, and I was like, oh, you know, this is what they mean. And I mean, after all those, every relationship taught me something different, for sure, like, of course, but, and being a queer person, I've dated men and women, or boys and girls, you know, I was really young, but at this point, I'm just like, yeah, like, okay, I get it now, like, I know what I want, I know who I am, or at least I'm figuring it out, I know who I am right now in this very moment, and I can verbally tell you, I can put it on paper, like, I know so much of myself, and I've gotten to know so much of myself with these partners. Like, this is no, like, hate or, you know, shade to them, like, love them, and I've actually gotten to a place where even, like, with the, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like, a couple of them I've blocked, but that's not a, like, a bad thing, and it doesn't mean I hate you. I have no room for hate in my heart. I've realized I have too much love. Like, I'm such a lover girl to my core, no matter who it is. Like, you can be my friend, you could be my partner, I love you, like, with everything that I have in my body. Like, I'm so, so deeply in love when I am in love or when I give love out, and I have no room in my heart for hate. I don't hate any of the people I've been with. That block button does not mean now you're on my hit list. I want revenge. I hate you. It's just like, I don't think that we align at all. And you've done a couple of things that I would want to keep you out of my life. Like, we do not need to be in each other's space, but I wish you well. Like, I either wish you well, I love you, or I want you to heal. I don't hate anybody, and I think that that's the most important part for me. Like, no matter how these relationships ended, I know a lot of them ended, well, it's been a few, all of them have had their hardships. All of them have been something, you know, and they weren't all easy. Like, they weren't easy at all. None of them were. Nothing worth having, I think, is easy, and nothing that's gonna show you anything, teach you anything, is gonna be easy. So I'm okay with that. But it definitely made me who I am today. So I'm thankful for all of them, and I hope that they're all doing really well. And I know that no matter if we ever talk again in life, like, I just know that I wish them well, and they don't have to know that. But it's okay. It is perfectly okay for them not to know how I feel about them. And I probably never will know how they feel about me, and that is also okay. I don't lose any sleep at night about it. I've gotten to that place. I think what came with this, in duality with this, was boundaries and boundary setting coming out of a relationship freshly. with everybody, like people in general, I just didn't have boundaries. I sucked at giving them and telling people what they were and then standing firm in them, because nobody's going to take you seriously. I was talking to my friend about this earlier today, and nobody's going to take you seriously if you don't set boundaries and then honor them. Because first of all, a boundary is for you, and nobody is responsible for you setting a boundary. If they don't know, they're going to walk all over it because they literally don't know what it is, and they don't know that it makes you uncomfortable or that it makes you sad or angry when they do this. And then if you don't tell them, then like, you know, nobody's going to take you seriously if you just let people walk all over you. That's not a real thing. So I felt bad about this because I was like, I say yes a lot of the times that I want to say no and vice versa, and I need to stop doing that, and I need to just establish a boundary and get better at communicating, because communication is everything and no relationship can survive without it, and people are going to take you for a joke for the rest of your life if you have no boundaries. So I had to get better at doing that, and I feel like I did. I've been doing it a lot lately and learning to say no to things that I really want to say no to, not just saying yes because it's the first word that comes out of my mouth. And if I change my mind, that's okay. People are not all like, as the same way that people aren't responsible for knowing your boundaries, reading your mind, and then, like, you know, abiding to the things that you want them to do without you telling them. If they don't honor them, then the relationship itself never had any foundation. And a lot of the time in my last relationships, I let people walk all over my boundaries, stomp on them and just do whatever they wanted. Before, I've had relationships where I would tell somebody, like, oh, I don't want us to talk. Like, I don't want us to talk. And then they would just text me, and then we would start talking again. And it's like, okay, well, like I said, no. Like, please stop, you know? Like, please stop. But if you let them, then it's no longer a boundary, and they're doing whatever they want to do to you because they don't respect you and they don't care about your wishes. They don't. And if you allow that, that's going to permeate in every relationship that you have in your life, and nobody is going to take you seriously. So I've been getting better at boundary setting, and it's become a thing that I've had to affirm myself of. Like, you are responsible for creating the world and the life that you want to create for yourself, and you can't let people disrespect you like that. So that's something else that's coming with that. In spirit of being 20 in half a year, I was just like, I'm not going to get in, try any hookup culture is so not me. Like, I'm, like I said, too big of a lover to even participate. Like, I was like, I need a full stop until I'm at least 20. I don't think, like, as soon as I turn 20, I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, making a Hinge profile and online dating and hookup culture, like, it's just not me. So I always pursue people. I'm going to let somebody pursue me this time. Yeah, and I'm not gonna give anything a shot until at least 20. I want to get to know myself in my 20s first. I want to figure out what my 20s look like for me. I'm getting pretty financially responsible, which is good, comes with adulthood. And I feel like once that one in front of your age drops, you really got to lock in. You don't have to have everything figured out. By all means, we're still super young. 20 is not 80. Like, it's the beginning of my life, not the end of it. But, you know, things do need to change. And I need to get to know myself in those eras and those really crucial parts of my development. And I was like, yeah, I need to give relationships a break. I need to do a lot for myself. And I've been super disciplined in everything else that I said I was going to do. I've been eating healthily, consistently, working out consistently. I've been running. I'm getting better at running. I had my fastest run today. It was 2 miles, almost 2 miles. I literally had to stop. My heart felt like it was about to explode. But I was like, let me push myself today. I run with people that are super fast. And I was like, I'm going to keep up with them this time. And I did. I managed to keep up with them for a mile, 1.9 miles. And it was my fastest run. They did too. So proud of them. I literally only needed to go for a little more, and I could have. I mean, my heart might have given out, but it was my fastest run, and that was something that I wanted to pat myself on the back for. I didn't dwell on the fact that I stopped before I hit 2 miles. 1.9 miles is enough if you're running at a 9 minute mile pace. That was my pace, 9 minutes and 10 seconds. That was my time, and I'm incredibly proud of myself. So I've been honoring everything from the physical to the mental to the spiritual, the emotional, and I think that I also owe it to myself to honor my boundaries, because I don't deserve disrespect like that, and I won't take it from anyone ever again. But yeah, guys, that is the contents of today's episode. I am pretty much as all over the place as somebody who's about to enter a very big and new chapter in their life can possibly be. I'm nervous and excited for many different things, like the new school year and for turning 20. I'm gonna be turning 20 in Costa Rica. Can't think of a better place to turn 20 at. And I don't know, I'm just really excited. But everything that's happening is happening for me and not to me. It feels really good, and all in all, I'm happy. And if I'm happy, I must be doing something right. So that's it, guys. Remember to always make sure that people honor your boundaries. If your boundaries are not being honored, then that relationship's foundation was weak to begin with, and you need to reassess, and that's okay. Everything happens for a reason, but make sure no matter what, you do what's best for you. I love you guys so much, and I will see you next week. Bye.